this morning, I am wearing this shirt with great expectation of hope that my grandson will be stationed in Hawaii. Amen, Gregory's? Amen. They're back here going, yeah, you know. So, yeah, this is, I hope he does. Because next year is our 45th wedding anniversary. Wouldn't that make a great trip to go see your grandson? Yeah. Oh, Seth, I'm not used to seeing you, Seth, there, brother. Hello. He's normally back there behind the screen back there sending out our live feed to everybody that's watching us online. Would you give Seth a hand for being faithful to that, making sure everybody's able to watch us online? This past week, I was staircasing in my bench press. And some of you know what that means, some of you don't, I won't explain it. On flat bench, trying to get back to, working to get back to where I was before we moved and couldn't work out. And I don't lift light, I lift heavy. And Rochelle was spotting me, and she's really, really good at it. And so, just as a warning, this is a very strong 63-year-old. But when I had the weight up, when I was on the high end, and I had it up above my chest, about to bring it down to my chest, for just a moment, I felt the stress, the pressure, and the weight that I had above me. And for just a moment, I felt that same thing for this nation. The stress, the weight, the pressure. I'm going to say this, and I say it with all honesty, from my heart and from the Father's heart, I know the series that I am preaching is vital. And if you haven't listened all through part one or part two, you need to go listen and you need to hear what the Spirit of God is saying. Don't catch yourself saying, I already know all that. That's a great mistake. I encourage you strongly to go listen to part one and part two. And this series has gone from three parts to four parts. God is calling His church to something. And He's definitely calling NEC to step up where our nation is concerned. So it's important that we know what God is saying to us. Now, I've made it clear about the audible God called in this series. He redirected me, refocused me in a different direction concerning the series, still using Nehemiah as the canvas for what He wanted His church to understand in this season. And God has some things He wants us to understand concerning the rebuilding of the spiritual walls of this nation. And the rebuilding of those walls falls upon the church of Jesus Christ to get on their knees and begin to rebuild those walls. It's our responsibility. The church. Now, I'll say it again. I'll say it again when I bring part four. I believe with all of my heart that God will, through His grace, by His mercy and His great love, will restore the spiritual walls of this nation like He did the walls in Nehemiah's time in Jerusalem, if His church will obey the call. We must obey the call. Now, in part one, we're looking at three keys. Now it's four keys to understanding what's on the Father's heart that He needs His church to understand. In part one, the first key was that the church has got to repent. The church has got to repent. Well, what about the nation? The nation needs to repent. But it starts at the house of God. The church needs to repent. Then the church needs to pray for the repentance of this nation. Then there has to be earnest prayer. Earnest prayer. Nehemiah prayed night and day. Remember, Nehemiah, the moment he heard what was going on in his country, in Jerusalem, it said that he immediately sat down and mourned. for days. So it's repentance, it's earnest prayer, and it's walking in humility. And a part of that, in parentheses, is fasting. If you haven't begun to do some fasting, and you don't always have to fast food for this nation, you need to get to it. It's important. Do we want the spiritual walls of this nation to be rebuilt?
Yes.
Is it needed? Yes. If we're going to see change, that's how it's going to happen. It's through the church hearing the call. Part two was all about the second key. And what God wanted us to understand, what was upon His heart, was that the church, not the pastors, the church, which includes the pastors, have got to start defending the full gospel of Jesus Christ. The entire gospel from cover to cover. To defend it and to speak it. And to speak the truth that's within it. Not fix it up so that it makes me feel comfortable, but speak it until it changes me. And changes how I live. And that we need to be unashamed of this word. If we're going to see the nation turn around. Don't assume everybody knows about the Bible. I still meet people who have never, ever been told anything in that book. You say in America? Yes. It's our responsibility. In part three, we look at the third key. Now, when we left last week, Nehemiah had put the call out to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. And the people said, let's rise and build. And then we read that the priests were the first to go. And we talked about that importance and how that's related to us. Now we're going to move just a couple of scriptures down. Pick the story up in Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 19. And it says, but when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the Ammonite, servant of Geshem the Arab, heard of it, what? Heard of what? Building the walls. They jeered, underline jeered, it's an important word. They jeered at us and despised us and said, what is this thing that you are doing? I absolutely understand the distraction from the enemy who is jeering at me, saying such things as, the church is not listening. Why are you wasting your time? The church is going to walk out the door and forget what you said because they're so consumed in their own agendas. What you're saying is despised because people don't want to have to do all that. They want someone else to do it so they can go on and just have this really life to where I don't have any spiritual responsibilities. You're wasting your time. We have a real enemy, and his name is Satan. He's a deceiver. And he will try to convince you that what you're doing for God is not worth it. That nobody's listening. Well, I'm not listening to him. That's why there's now part four. Because my responsibility is to do what God said. It's the church's responsibility, including me, to go do what God says. They jeered at him. What is this thing you're doing? Smithy, what are you doing? Why don't you preach something that everybody can walk out and go, oh gosh, can't wait till part two. That made me feel so good. I'm looking for the day when the church says, I can't get ready to get back next Sunday so I can continue to learn what it is we need to be doing. Let's look at the word jeer. The Oxford Language Dictionary says this and defines it as make rude and mocking remarks, typically in a loud voice. That loud voice is not happening here. That loud voice is happening here. That mocking voice that's telling you that your pastor is telling you things that won't make a difference, I'm not a part of that. He's not holding me responsible for that. I'm too busy to do that. I've got my own agenda. I'm out to do what I want to do. Those are mocking voices trying to tell you, don't listen to truth. It don't make any difference. It won't make any difference. The enemy wants to jeer and say, what is this thing you're doing? Our youth leaders can go through the same thing. The enemy can jeer and says, what is this thing you're doing? It won't make any difference to the next generation. Oh, yes, it will. But I've heard people say, why do they do that stuff? It don't make any difference. See, that's what's wrong with the church. We have bought into the lie, it don't make any difference. It makes all the difference when the church decides to obey God. It makes all the difference. In Nehemiah chapter 4, let's continue to read about Sanballat. Now, when Sanballat heard that we were building the wall, he was angry and greatly enraged, and he jeered at the Jews. And he said in the presence of his brothers and of the army of Samaria, what are these feeble Jews doing? Will they restore it for themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they finish up in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of rubbish and burnt ones at all at that? Yes. God needs His church to say yes. That the rubble of the spiritual walls of this nation, where they've been burnt down, will rise again. Yes. Whose responsibility is it? Ours. My responsibility is to remind you that it's ours. Will they finish up in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of rubbish and burnt ones at that? Tobiah the Ammonite was beside him, and he said, yes, what they are building, if a fox goes up on it, he will break down their stone wall. We've heard the deal with small, the small foxes spoil the vine. Can I give you a new thing to say? Not even if an elephant walks on this will he break the walls down when the church arises and does what it's supposed to do. Yes. Yes. Nehemiah wasn't going. As you study out and you read, there is so much in Nehemiah. Again, I was going to take it chapter by chapter. God's not letting me do that. You need to go study chapter by chapter slowly. Nehemiah. We all think we face a lot of opposition. We think that we get harassed. We think there's a lot of distractions. You ought to read all that Nehemiah faced. Not just outside, but inside. And Nehemiah made a decision that he would not be distracted. Period. He would not allow himself to be distracted. Now, I don't want it to go up yet, but I'm about to read a quote. I have favorite quotes. This is in the upper 5% of my favorite quotes. And church, hear what Winston Churchill said. You will never reach your destination if you stop and throw stones at every dog that barks. We are so easily distracted. Get so off focus, chunking rocks, when we should just keep our head down and do what God said and let Him deal with some things and go forward and quit getting distracted with stuff that don't matter. Well, she said, well, he said, well, yeah. We get so wrapped up in stuff that don't matter, we don't even fulfill the destiny of God. And why do we stop and throw stones? Because in reality, we don't trust God to deal with it. I've got to deal with it. That was free. Let God deal with a lot of this stuff. You'll be happier. You'll sleep better. But He ain't doing it in my timing. Maybe He's wanting you to learn to trust Him. Nehemiah faced this contingent of people who were against him. And they were doing more than just words. If you'll read, they were doing things to distract not only him, but all of the people that were with him. So much so that the people turned on Nehemiah. But Nehemiah didn't change. Neither will I. I know what God is saying and what we need to do. He faced great opposition. But he chose not to allow himself to be distracted or discouraged. He chose. It's a choice. We have to make the choice. Am I going to allow myself to continually be distracted? Yekechiku, Joseph, said this. Focus, focus. Consolidated focus. Beware of distractions. It's going to take focus. Listen, consolidated focus of the church to see the spiritual walls of this nation rebuilt. Consolidated focus. What are distractions? Webster says that it's anything that takes my attention away from something else. Let me say it a different way. Anything that distracts me away from what God is calling me to. And right now, God's calling the entire church to rebuild the spiritual walls of this nation. Friends of mine in foreign countries are waiting for the Church of America to arise and do that because they live in countries where the church did not do that. And it's not fun places to live as a Christian. Well, never in America. If the church doesn't arise, can you handle that truth? The church has got to arise. Distractions are meant to shift your focus off of God's call and instructions to rebuild the spiritual walls of this nation. That's what distractions are for. So what is it that God wants us to understand in part three? Well, key number three is don't be distracted. God is telling His church, stop being distracted from what I'm telling you to do. Stop being distracted. I know in this room that some of you are facing enormous things. But right now, your country needs you not to be distracted. Need you not to be distracted. We must not allow ourselves to be distracted. We just can't. Or discouraged from the call that God has given us. A pin truth this morning. Important note to self. Distractions are not always blatant or obvious. There are things that can distract you that are awesome. But if it's keeping you from what God told you to do, It's not awesome. It can be a distraction that is actually fun, and God's not against it, but if it is consuming your time so much so that you're not obeying God, then it's no longer a good thing. Does that make sense? It's not always blatant and obvious. The Bible, in my studying now for over 37 years, I have found five major distractions the Bible talks about. Five. But I'm only going to talk about one this morning, because it is the most disruptive distraction in the church today. And it's why I am supposed to address it. It's what God has assigned me to do. But let me start with a word we're going to define: carnal. The Holman Illustrated Bible Dictionary says anything related to the fleshly or worldly appetites and desires rather than to the godly and spiritual desires. Carnal. So that distraction I want to talk about are the carnal things of this world that have infiltrated the church. And in some seasons and times and cases and places, you can't tell the difference between the church and the world. And there should be an obvious difference. And who's the church, the building? Us. When we step outside this door, there should be a separation to who we are and the way the world lives. There's got to be. There has to be. Pentruth, carnal things are the primary distractions by far the church faces. The carnal stuff. It's just the truth. Paul and John warned the first century church of this. And we're going to read what they said. And they were warning the first century church about being distracted by the customs and behaviors of the world. Romans 12:2. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. The question becomes, what's ruling my thoughts? What's ruling my behavior? What is in my top five list? Is God anywhere in the top five, and anything He's telling me to do in the top five? Well, let me expand it. Top 10 is even there. We let the world consume us because the world is constantly pressing and pushing in front of you that your desires matter most. And go for them. I live by a scripture that says that if I will do what God tells me to do, and if I seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, then all these other things will be added unto me. Where are we, church? We're at a place where we have got to, what? Be transformed by the renewing of our mind, by spending more time right here. I'm all for books. I'm all for podcasts and listening to 150 preachers in a week, if that's what you want to do. But if it's robbing you from time from this, you need to change some things. It's great to hear other people, but are you in here for yourself? The Word comes first. I listen to stuff. I read stuff. I've got a stack of books like this right now. I have people still give me books. I'm going, I'm sorry, but you just went to the bottom because I got to get through these first. But they never rob me of what I need to do most, study and read the Word of God. And that's not just a pastor's responsibility. That's the church's. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. I think somebody thinks they're bench pressing right now. It's getting heavy, isn't it? Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires. But whoever does the will of God abides forever. So much of what we sow ourselves into will not last. And even the freedoms we know I'm going to say it might not last if the church doesn't rise up. And if you haven't noticed, they're stripping them every day. One of the largest church organizations in the world is under attack by a government agency. Church, wake up. It's time to rebuild the spiritual walls, would you say? The carnal world caters to our fleshly desires. And it becomes a great big distraction that's pushing really, really hard against the will of God in our lives. And we've got to recognize it. Here's a pen truth that I'm going to have to explain. Comes out of one of my journals. Some absolute craziness can sometimes go on in our heads. Let me explain myself. It is amazingly crazy how we will justify things. Because that's what I want. And talk ourselves out of obeying God and justify it. That's some crazy stuff, isn't it? When we know God is speaking. James 1:14 says, temptation comes from our own desires, which entice us and drag us away. The enemy wants to drag you away from your knees and live a life of repentance and to pray repentance for this nation. He wants to drag you away from earnestly praying. He wants to drag you away from fasting or walking humbly before God. He wants to drag you away from defending the gospel and knowing the truth and speaking the truth. He wants to drag you away from all of that. I don't know about you, but I can't wait for part four. The question becomes, what will we do? Will we do what's necessary to rebuild the spiritual walls of this nation? Or will we choose to be distracted by our carnal desires? That's on us. And I won't be looking over your shoulder, but the Holy Spirit will be standing there going, ha! I'm still here. What are we doing? It gets us back to the first key in part one, repentance. Earnestly praying. Walking humbly before God. Maybe even fasting a Dr. Pepper. God needs His church to arise. You know what the one word that describes all that? Submission. submission. In Philippians 4, verse 8, "And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts." I'm fixing to show you how to get past this. It's so simple it hurts. We've complicated the gospel. "And now, dear brothers and sisters, one thing, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right." From where? In here. "And pure and lovely and admirable. Think about these things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me." What's the key word there? You're getting a call from God, and we're to go what? Practice, go do what God's calling us to do. "Everything you heard from me and saw me doing, then the God of peace will be with you." I am not ignorant of what's going on in this country, but I walk in peace because I know I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. Well, what if tomorrow they turn on all churches? I'm still going to walk in peace. But they're going to cause me to make sure that I have my trowel in one hand and my sword in the other. And I'm going to be saying, "Come on. My God is a faithful God. He will take care of me." If the rest of the church is not going to stand up, Rochelle and I will. Please do not walk out of here and just go about life again. Go out of here, chase your goals and your dreams, but don't forget the call. Don't forget the call. Don't forget the call. My final statement: when the church, you and I, are called to rebuild the spiritual walls of the nation, we collectively don't have time to allow distractions to remove us from the rebuilding. Not right now. Suppose we take our responsibility to rebuild seriously. In that case, we must learn to remain undistracted, to wholeheartedly focus our attention on the call that matters most in the season and time we are living in. Now, in the season and time that we're living in now, right now. And let me say something else, and this will rattle some folks. That's okay. You can come talk to me afterwards. I can handle it. The prophets are all over the place. One group that people respect are saying this. Another group people respect saying this. Another, let me tell you what we need to do. Get in the Word. Hear God for yourself. And do what God says. You tell me not to listen to prophets? No, I'm not telling you that. But we've reached a place where the church is no longer learning and listening for God from the self. They're letting everybody else tell them. Are you with me? Hear God for yourself. Because then when I hear something over here, and it's what God is saying, now I have my confirmation, and I know that I know that I know. Are you with me? When God gives me a word for somebody, what I love about what He's done, because I am careful to move with my gift, is I want to make sure that I've heard from Him. They come to me later and say, "That was a confirmation, not something new. But I got more detail into what God is doing, but that was a confirmation. It just got broader." Why? That's a person who's what? Seeking God for themselves, to hear from Him. Church, quit riding the coattails of others and get on with hearing God for yourself. He's a personal God. He's a personal God. The Word of God is what? Profitable for reproof, correction, and blessing too. But we need to be in this Word. Is this your number one read? Love what Ross told those guys that day. They were just in shock that he hadn't been reading any books. For an entire year, this is the only thing he'd been reading. And he pastors a large church. They were in shock that he hadn't already read about 10 books. Let's read the Word. Let's defend the Word. Let's speak the truth. Let us repent. Let us earnestly pray on our face before God. Let's walk humbly before Him and fast where He tells us to fast. And above all, do not be distracted. I am working with Christians who are out of church because they got distracted because so many different pastors and prophetic people were saying so many different things to the point that they lost connection completely, and none of that was happening, and so they just gave up on God. And now they're coming back to a place where they're hearing from God for themselves, and they're being restored, and their joy is being restored because God is speaking to them. And now when they hear something, they know what's from God and what's not. Anybody with me? They know what's from God and what's not. The Bible says not to despise prophesying, but you better connect when it's really God. That's important. I wasn't even going to go there. The Holy Spirit just wanted that thrown in there. She doesn't know I'm going to do this, but Rachel, would you come to the platform? She's going to close the service. Early this morning, the Lord spoke to me not only to have her close the service, but to pray for us. Because church, we have allowed our carnal desires to get in the way. I'm not saying you don't chase your dreams and you don't go after your goals. Don't you dare walk out of here and he said, I can't do that. I did not. But your carnal desires that are getting in the way of God's will for your life and His instructions have got to be dealt with. And it begins with going all the way back to what? Repentance. So church, would you stand with me as I stand as a part of the church? As we repent for allowing the carnal nature and the world's ways to infiltrate the church so that we can go out and rebuild the walls of this nation, the spiritual walls, and watch God do the miraculous all around us.
Rachel. Well, before I pray, I want to say there was three things that the Holy Spirit highlighted while Pastor Corey was bringing an incredible and a very necessary word for us to hear. Don't ignore it. It would be very easy to, because when you walk out of here, your life of what, you know, you had already planned for the day, that's going to go on. But the three things, how many, just raise your hand if you know somebody under the age of 20, or if you are under the age of 20. If you know somebody under the age of 20 or you are under the age of 20, raise your hand. Everybody in here should have their hand raised. Part of rebuilding the spiritual walls of this nation is to not forget the next generation. And if you think that the devil is not after the next generation, you are blind upon blind. Because there's been a great victory in Roe versus Wade being overturned. And I'm not getting political. I'm just being biblical. There's a great victory in that. But just because now it's illegal in a lot of places to have an abortion, the devil is going to ramp up on the kids that are being born. So here's my first challenge. Just pick one or two or three or however many and pray for those kids by name. By name. And there's a lot of them in this room right now. And pray for them. Be intentional with them. Be intentional in the time that you're spending with them. Even if they're kids that are Felicity, who has the attention span of a fly. Just plant the word of God in them. They will remember it. They will. I still remember when adults would plant that in me when I was little. Like, I remember that verse, Philippians 4, 8, 9. That was one of the ones that was spoken to me over and over and over again. It matters. Here's number two. The distraction, the TV, the news, social media. Put that away for 30 minutes and read your Bible. You know, if you think that America's too far gone, you haven't read the Bible. Because over and over and over again, the people of God were outnumbered, but God still gave them the victory. And that's what we can have if we will turn our hearts and our faces towards God. So go read the Bible and encourage yourself and give yourself hope. Number three, find a verse in the Bible or a passage that means something to you about this nation that God's speaking personally to you. For a lot of people, is it 1 Chronicles or 2 Chronicles 7:14? 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray. You know, we all know that scripture. Find a scripture that is personal to you that you can pray and set your alarm for that time every day and pray. For me, I will not find one in the seven, in a chapter seven, because I don't want to get up early. I'm just kidding. I'll do it at night. But just do it. Like, even if it's for, like, set the alarm 2 minutes apart and just dedicate yourself to pray for 2 minutes. 2 minutes for our nation. That's it. Start with that, and I promise it'll get more and more, because God's going to turn your heart for this nation when you start praying for it. So would you bow your heads this morning? Father, we come before you. We come humbly before you, God. And Lord, we ask that you would forgive us for being distracted with the things of this world. God, bring us back to your heart. I pray that by your Spirit here this morning, that you would fill every heart with such a hunger and a thirst and a burning for you. God, that those things that were distractions before, that they would just fall away. Lord, I pray that you would open our eyes, that the scales would fall off, and that we would be able to see clearly. And Lord, we lift up the next generation. God, we lift up the young people of our nation. And I pray, God, that they would stop being deceived. Lord, I pray that specifically the ones that are in this church, God, that are represented here in this church, that you would be with them. I pray for a Psalm 91 hedge of protection around their minds. And I pray, Lord God, that the only thing that would be able to penetrate their mind is the truth of your word. That, Lord, when a word is spoken over them that does not come from you, that it would just bounce right out in the name of Jesus. And, Lord, I pray that you would give every single one of us the conviction to be intentional with the children that are in our lives, with the youth that are in our lives, with the young adults that are in our lives. God, bring us back to your heart. Save this nation, God, so that we may be a true beacon of hope to the world for your glory, so that people may come to know you. And God, lastly, this morning, I ask that you would give us a hunger for your word. That, Lord, when people open the Bible to read, that it would come alive to them. And that they wouldn't want to put it down. That they would just want to read one more chapter, and one more chapter, and one more chapter. And then 2 hours have gone by. God, give us a hunger for your word. Lord, we love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.